Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Back at it again. New week here at Fox Sports Radio. When you hear my voice, it starts a new week of programming. I know because they send the schedule out, and it says the weekday programming starts with the Ben Maller Show. Very corporate of them to send out an email, and they make that announcement. So what you heard before was the end of weekend programming operations at Fox Sports Radio, if you're listening earlier, and this is the beginning. I'm in the leadoff spot, batting leadoff. I hopefully will get on base. Hopefully I'll get on base and then I can get driven home by someone else. But anyway, there's no need here to beat around the bush. We know what the big story is. There's a couple of big stories of the day over the weekend. Most of them involve basketball. And good news for the civic leaders in the Delaware Valley. No need for extra Crisco protection for the street signs of Philadelphia. The animals will be caged as Kawhi Leonard. He did make it, but he barely made it. Bounce, 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 bounce in the dramatic Hollywood-like buzzer beater and the kind of a Hoosiers-like feel to it, but the first Game 7 buzzer beater in NBA history. Woohoo! So Toronto, Canada. The hockey teams in Canada all blow, but the basketball team is now 4 wins away from the NBA Finals as they are on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Kawhi Leonard, 41 points. He had 8 rebounds. He took a ton of shots to get to those 41 points. I assume you watched the game. Maybe you did not. You don't care about the Toronto Raptors or the Philadelphia 76ers. Maybe you were doing stuff over the Sunday events there. But this was an all-you-can-eat buffet of missed shots for both teams. Players extremely tight, and they will all fade into the haze of darkness. The great thing about moments like this, like if you watched the game, you actually watched the game and said, man, that was a bad game. There were a lot of missed shots, sloppy basketball. But over the course of time and as the days and then goes on and the months and the years and all that, you will only remember what you usually do is two things about a sporting event. You remember the emotional peak and you remember the outcome. In this case, the emotional peak and the outcome, one and the same. Kawhi Leonard, game-winning shot. Ta-da! And Toronto wins. Right? So that's an example of both those things being the same, the emotional peak and the end of the game. It is the biggest shot in Raptors history. Apologies to Damon Stoudemire, Vince Carter, Chris Bosh, and anyone else that played for the Toronto Raptors with the Barney the Dinosaur in the uniform back in the day. So the Sixers, they tossed everything in a tuna fish sandwich at Kawhi Leonard in terms of defensive traps, the convoy of defenders, and it did not work. It didn't matter in the end. Kawhi Leonard, who the Sixers ran over, Joel Embiid ran over, put his arm up. He's like 7'3", and he put his arm in the air. And Kawhi Leonard, the one photo which will be get blown up and be put into posters and put all over the internet, it's already been all over the internet, and will become the signature photograph of that particular series, was Kawhi Leonard kneeling down, looking at the basketball, helplessly watching as the ball bounced around the rim, and then right next to him is Joel Embiid, and he's looking. Some other guy on the Raptors bench is over there, he's looking. They're all looking as the ball bounces around, and finally goes in, and he's mobbed by his teammates, which I think is what you're supposed to do. I think that's a rule. If you don't mob the guy that makes the game-winning shot, it's not a game-winning shot. It's not. It's part of the – it's all choreographed. That's how it works. You have to – as a teammate, you have to pile on. You have to dogpile on top of Kawhi Leonard. Now, we know the better story is in the losing locker room. So with all due apologies to the Toronto Raptors, who are now going to take on Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks in the great state of Wisconsin, Eastern Conference Finals starting soon. Let's discuss the better story, because that's in Philadelphia. Woo-wee! What the hell happened there? All right, so the question, now that the Sixers have been eliminated in the second round, something J.J. Redick knows all about, so the question is, will the Sixers now make wholesale changes after that buzzer-beating loss? The smart money, which is where my money is, says yes. Like, you know, it's not being a prisoner of the moment. I think realistically, looking at this from the outside, the Sixers are going to make a bunch of changes. Now, my thoughts here, you've got the Kleenex, rattlesnake venom, and unorthodox. You've got those three things, and we will tie all of this together for you like you're supposed to know how to tie your shoelaces. And here we go. All right, so A, Philadelphia, to their credit, and I will give them full credit for this, after years of being very passive, after years of not going for it, and trusting the process, the Sixers went all in for this team. They weaponized a roster that some, not so bright, NBA pundits said was the second most talented team in professional basketball behind Golden State. That was said by many. Not only did Philadelphia get Jimmy Butler, which we know from Minnesota, the 76ers also gave the house away to get Tobias Harris in one of the great bamboozled trades that Jerry West has ever pulled off.
Who?
Just essentially pulling the Sixers' pants down. And you can have Tobias Harris, but we'll get everything we want. Done. Dunskies. What a bunch of idiots these Sixers look like in retrospect. And so you don't have to be Woj. You do not have to be Woj or some other woke NBA insider to know that getting to the conference semifinals when you have acquired two players who are supposed to be difference makers is not simply good enough. It is not. Right? You have winners and losers, and this is a debacle. Now, as far as what changes individually you're going to be making, you look at the sidelines. That's the easiest one. Coaches are as disposable as a Kleenex tissue. You get a box of those tissues, you go right through those things, and see you later. Goodbye. Brett Brown. Good guy. People seem to like him. He always looks disheveled to me.
You're fired.
In the post-game news conferences, he's been around for many of the bad days in Philadelphia, longtime part of the Delaware Valley sports scene there. He is on the clock. So what are the odds that the boys in Philly make a coaching change? I am going to set the odds at minus 580, which implies there's an 85% chance that Brett Brown walks the plank in Philly. It's also interesting to note that it is going to be next to impossible to keep both Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris in Philadelphia with the roster assemblage that they currently have. So that means there will be some turnover there. That's generally how this works. You shuffle the deck of playing cards, hoping to avoid getting a joker, is what you hope to do. Now, B, this series, Toronto and Philadelphia, a referendum on Joel Embiid. And it depends on which side of the aisle you're sitting on. At first glance, Joel Embiid had a wonderful plus-minus rating. If you value the plus-minus rating and think this is the end-all be-all, there is no arguing against Joel Embiid being bad. Joel Embiid was wonderful. When he was on the court, Philadelphia outscored Toronto by a wide margin. When Joel Embiid was off the court, Toronto dominated and the tables were turned. But when you peel back the onion, you realize that for Joel Embiid to truly be a dominating presence, he's got to be more of an aggressive person on offense. 90% of this particular game seven, he was 20 feet away from the basket, and that's how he plays. You know, I love the outside shot, but when you're 7 foot tall, you might want to go down low occasionally. I know that's an outrageous position, and I'm judging Joel Embiid. I'm just saying. Right? Occasionally, take the ball down low. You're way too dependent on the outside shot. That is the kryptonite as I see it. Standing out at the three-point line, possession after possession after possession after possession. You have to be omnipresent. You bill yourself as the most dominating force in the NBA. If you're standing at the three-point line and you're not doing anything other than that, how are you the most dominant force in the NBA if that's all you're doing and you're 7 foot tall? You vanish in large stretches. Joel Embiid did. This will be a roadblock for the Sixers going forward. Now, it would also help if Embiid was not a hypochondriac because the availability of Joel Embiid from minute to minute, it's like a kaleidoscope. You don't know what you're going to get. Now, Embiid was in a ball of tears after the game. As he walked off the court, the cameras over at TNT caught Joel Embiid as he sashayed his way off the court there with the waterworks in full effect. Then he had his nice, beautiful model girlfriend from Instagram there to take care of him. So he's all right. He's good. I don't feel bad for Embiid because he's doing all right. Now, we are told that Embiid was the very last Sixer to take off his uniform, which must have really annoyed the people that had to wash the uniforms because, I mean, come on, we got to get that off. We got to wash that. Took 35 minutes for him to take his uniform off, the jersey off, after the game. And the loss should sting. It should be like rattlesnake venom. Kawhi Leonard, that last-second dagger, the three-pointer over Joel Embiid's outstretched arm there. Now, in fairness, Leonard, he had 41 points. He needed 39 shots. That's Kobe-like is what that is. That's Iverson-like from the old days in the NBA. Not the very efficient performance, but it was a wonderful shot at the end. And Toronto had so many more opportunities in this game because they simply outworked Philadelphia. They had 16 offensive rebounds more. Well, actually, 11 more. So it was a 16-5 advantage in favor of offensive rebounding for the Raptors. So they took 24 more shots, mostly because they just, when they missed, they would get offensive rebounds. That's kind of how it works. All right, last word here. Now, while Philadelphia is going to look to exchange coaches, that seems like a given, 85% chance. They'll try to keep Jimmy Butler and or Tobias Harris. They will likely only keep one of them. The other one will go somewhere else. And then you got to shake it up. My theory here is the Sixers should do something unorthodox. I had ranted and raved over this series about Ben Simmons, some Ben-on-Ben crime on the radio.
Who?
And I reached a conclusion that Ben Simmons should be traded. They should trade his ass. He is an offensive liability. He is handicapped by his lack of an outside game. And he's a guy that he couldn't shoot when he was in high school. I didn't see him, but I'm told he couldn't shoot in high school. He couldn't shoot in college. He wasn't there very long. And you know what? He can't shoot in the NBA. So I don't know any other level he can play at other than this where he can't shoot. But every level he's played in, he has failed to shoot. And it reminds me of what Mike Leach, a football coach of all people, says about quarterbacks. Mike Leach, who's coached many good quarterbacks, solid college football players over the years, says if you cannot develop, you can't develop people into being accurate once they get to about 18 years old. If you don't know how to throw a football accurately by the time you're 18 years old, you're not going to learn when you're 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. You're not going to learn. If you don't learn it by 18, you're done. That ship has left the port. And the same goes for shooting. If you don't know how to shoot by the time you're 18. Now, everyone's got examples of somebody that got a little bit better, but those are the outliers. Right, so you don't make the exception to the rule and say, well, I have an exception to the rule, so that becomes... No, that's not how it works. Ben Simmons also has the double whammy here. The problem he's got, not only does he lack the offensive repertoire, he compounds that by being very passive and lethargic on offense. Like, when Simmons is going towards the basket, he's not an offensive liability, but when he's not, he's a pushover most of the time for Philadelphia. And if I'm the Sixers, now he's still on his rookie contract, so he's not getting $25 million a year, which he'll be making Ben Simmons soon. Depending on what happens on Tuesday, the NBA draft lottery is on Tuesday night, and we'll find out who's got the number one pick and number two. And while Zion Williamson, Zion is pretty much guaranteed to be the number one pick in the NBA draft, number two, who's it going to be? Ja Morant, possibly number two. I'd rather have Ja Morant than Ben Simmons. I'd take my chances on him and see how he does in the NBA as opposed to Ben Simmons, because I think Ja Morant would be a better fit with Joel Embiid, who they're going to stick around. I assume he's going to stay there forever and ever and ever. But I'm telling you, watching the Sixers, opposing teams have a power play advantage when Simmons is on the court, when he's not driving to the basket. The Sixers are shorthanded on offense when he's out at the three-point line. There's no other way to say it. And yeah, the Sixers almost won the game. You know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Didn't win the game. All right, here's the... By the way, if you wanted to hear what the call sounded like, the Kawhi Leonard game-winning shot, we actually have audio to prove that he didn't make the shot if you were not watching the game.
Raptors, here we go. They get it to Leonard.
drives right down to the baseline, fall away for the win. Got it! Kawhi Leonard's shot went up in the air. It hit the rim. It bounced on the rim before going through the bucket. Toronto wins 92-90. It's on to Milwaukee and the Eastern Conference Final.
Normally, going to Milwaukee is not a prize, but in this case, you are rewarded with a trip to Milwaukee. But think of the cheese curds. Well, this is a great matchup. If I was a columnist in Milwaukee, I'd write, all right, what's better, cheese, the Wisconsin cheese, or the Canadian cheese, the poutine in Canada, or the cheese curds of Wisconsin, which isn't poutine just where they put cheese curds on fries anyway. Isn't that how they – I think that's how they do it anyway, so – all right, here's Brett Brown, soon to be unemployed as Sixers coach, talking about, well, you'll hear the question, you'll hear the answer, rather than me say. Here we go.
There's been a lot of speculation about your future. I wonder if you've, in the last couple weeks, had any conversations. Has anyone told you anything about what your future might look like with the organization?
Stuff like that, we've talked internally a lot. You know, the club can respond to that.
As someone who's been employed and unemployed, the last person to know they're going to be unemployed is the person who's unemployed. They're the last one to find out. Everyone else knows about it before they find out about it. That's been my, am I wrong? That's been my experience. All right, here's more from Brett Brown, and he points out the ebb and flow here, and he claims, this is great, Brett Brown's claiming the Sixers had, people thought they had no shot.
I think the large majority of this room, you know, didn't really give us a chance. And I'm not throwing that back at you.
It's lies!
Just the way it works. Like, we really weren't given too much of a chance against Toronto. There's lots to be proud of. We got two All-Stars that are very young. I think that the culture, the foundation of how we try to work and do things is on point. I'm proud of what we've built.
Yeah. Two things. A, that's not true. That's a lie. People thought Philadelphia was going to win because they had a more talented team. And B, if the media did say that, guess what? Newsflash, they were right. You didn't win. So there you go. All right? You don't get a participation award. You don't. All right, here's Joel Embiid, who cried like a sissy. What's wrong with you, Joel Embiid, crying like that?
I don't know. I don't know. Game 7, losing a game that way. You know, last shot, after a hard fought game, I feel like we had a chance. You know, a lot of things go through your mind and, it sucks. I don't know. I can't explain it. It just sucks.
Joel, it's Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio in the back. Can you say a few more times? I think we almost reached our quota for the entire week. Can you please say that one more time? Okay, anyway, here's one more from Joel Embiid, who is nicknamed the process and all that. Well, he's apparently over.
You've been here for almost all of the process. Where would you say the process is right now? And you just played the most minutes you've ever played in regulation. Are you tired?
I don't give a damn about the process. And no, I'm not tired.
Well, that'll be a good drop. I don't care about the process. All right, Ben Maller Show on Fox. Real quick hello to Eddie Garcia. There he is.
I feel a little weird admitting what I'm about to admit.
Don't admit it then. Don't have to admit it.
Okay, you don't want me to?
I mean, it's up to you. I don't want to pressure you to do it.
When Kawhi Leonard hit that shot, what do you think my first thought was?
I don't know what your thought would be at that particular
My first point. Thought was that Drake just had an orgasm.
Can you save that, Roberto? Can you use that as a drop?
Am I wrong?
Yes, I can.
Am I the only one who thought that?
I've never
Did anyone else think that?
You're definitely the only one who thought that.
I've never worried about. I think Drake has plenty of orgasms. I don't worry about him having orgasms.
I wasn't worried about it. Yeah. I just thought that when that went in, that was the first thing that popped in my mind. That somewhere Drake is, you know.
No, I didn't think about that. No. Did you think about
Roberto? You didn't think that?
Were you worried about Biebs also? Are you concerned about Justin Bieber?
No, I don't. Consider
why
him
not?
A real...
He's Canadian, you know.
Yeah, but he likes every team, you know. He's a different team every other week in hockey, so I don't really look at him as a...
You do not? Nah. You think he's like a fraud or something?
Kind
like
of
that.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Is he still making music, Biebs?
Yeah. Well, they're still buying it, so he's still making it.
Is he? I don't know.
Yeah.
When's the last time he came out with new music?
I don't know. Sometime recently, I'm sure.
Really? I
have no idea. Probably.
Don't lie, Ben. You know you're a big Bieber fan.
Well, me and him go back. We spent a night together.
That's exactly right. Yeah. He spent a night together with Biebs.
Ran past me. His hoodie touched my elbow. That's fine. We had a moment. We did.
So I got to assume that's the greatest shot in Raptors history, right? That's got to be the biggest shot in their history.
Name another one.
I can't. That's what I'm saying.
That's it. Well, Vince Carter missed one that would have beaten Philadelphia, but that was because at the time Toronto was down in that game. This was a tie situation, right? So that's the greatest shot, but it was a tie. Yeah. I always like game-winning shots when a team is if you look at the situation and say, all right, you miss it, you lose the game. That's more of a game-winning shot.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
You're playing with house money when you're tied and take a game-winning.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We look back at the weekend that was the Denver Nuggets, the greatest home court advantage in the NBA. Broadcasters love to remind us about how effective the Denver Nuggets were at home. We heard all about the altitude sickness opposing teams had. The Blazers were going to be suffering from the ill effects. They were going to need an oxygen tank by the time they got done in Mile High City. But in the end, it was several Denver Nuggets players. They needed medical assistance. They needed the Heimlich maneuver. The way they were performing in the fourth quarter, you had C.J. McCollum. You saw this game, right? C.J. McCollum. It wasn't Lillard. It was C.J. McCollum, the other guy. The other guy. The yin for the yang. 37 points, 9 rebounds. Just as good in the second half as he was in the first half. And Portland eliminates Denver 196. They overcame a huge first half deficit to win the Western Conference semifinals in 7 games. So it's the Trailblazers who advance down the Oregon Trail to the Western Conference Finals. They'll take on Golden State. First time in almost 20 years. Almost 20 years. And if I recall, the last time the Blazers were in the Western Finals, they played the Lakers, and they blew a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter of that game. I was at that particular game. I recall that back, and that was both teams played hard, my man. Both teams played hard with the Trailblazers. All right, so let's discuss. Now, the question, did the Blazers win the game or did the Nuggets lose the game? That's the question. The answer, you know the answer. Come on. I don't have to tell you the answer. Yeah, you, of course. You listen to the show. Yeah, Denver lost the game more than Portland won the game. We know the better story is in the losing locker room. Now, my observations here. You've got Costco, the clinic, and punchers. You've got those three things, and we'll lock all this together for you like you're supposed to lock your locker when you go down to your school, you put stuff at the gym or whatever. You got to lock stuff in the locker. Now, number one, Denver.
Number one.
Riding high, right? They were reaching to the top of the Rocky Mountains in the first half, only to crumble. How low can you go? How low can you go in the second half? The Nuggets missed their final 16 three-point shots. And they went out with a whimper. They went out with a whimper. So instead of big game hunting against the Warriors, Denver, now they have been put out of their misery, and they can go miss shots when they're working out in the gym. They don't have to worry about playing another team in the NBA Plus. A wonderful regular season. Record-breaking numbers for Denver, right? A dormant NBA franchise for a number of years, and they could not nurse a 17-point lead, build on the 17-point lead early in the game in the first half, and they had no answer to C.J. McCollum in the first half or the second half, certainly not down the stretch for the Trailblazers. And so while Denver, they will say, overachieved, whoever they are, that Denver overachieved this season, they outplayed their talent level. In the end, they fumbled away a brass ring opportunity. Because if you look ahead, and you look at the Nuggets with Nikola Jokic, who had an MVP. He's not going to win it, but he had an MVP-type season for Denver. And you say, well, Golden State's not going to have Kevin Durant for the playoffs the rest of the way. That would have been an opportunity for Nikola Jokic to assert his will, but it did not take place. So why are the Nuggets in this predicament? Why are they in this situation? What happened that put them in this hole? The truth be told, several Nuggets sucked at a time you cannot suck. And that's the way it is. We need a Costco-sized blame pie. You ever get one of those apple pies at Costco? They are the size of a tire on an 18-wheeler. That is how big those apple pies are at Costco. We need that size pie to dish out the blame. Right? Denver, they led by as many as 17 points in the first half. They had a 9-point lead at halftime, which is not a crazy lead, but it's still a 9-point lead. In the second half, it was like a Houdini magic set in the second half, right? All the tricks, you get the rabbit out of the hat, you got the magic deck, this Svengali deck and all that. You got all that stuff. And you know, who are the blame game? The blame game. Jamal Murray, 10 shots missed, 8 of them in the second half. Paul Millsap, 6 shots, 0 for 6, 2 points. Nikola Jokic, he took in the second half 16 shots. He missed 10 of them, had 16 second-half points. But in the fourth quarter, money time, in a close game in the fourth quarter, Nikola Jokic took 10 shots. He missed 7 of them. And guess what? He was actually better than the rest of the Nuggets, who as a team shot 29%. You want me to go on? The only Nugget who consistently made shots was somebody named Gary Harris. He was 4 of 5 in the second half, but...
Who?
Gary Harris. It is interesting...
Never heard of him.
Because he plays for the Nuggets. It's interesting to note that in the fourth quarter, even though he was 4 of 5, he only took 1 of 2 shots in the fourth quarter, so they didn't even go to Gary Harris. They had no offense in the fourth quarter. And I every time I watched the Nuggets miss a shot, I flashed back to that guy that called up and gave his declaration about the Denver Nuggets on our show, because that's really what this was all about, right? I mean, that's what every time they miss, I'm thinking about that guy in my head with the speech and the whole thing. All right, so the second thing here, now CJ McCollum, he outshined Damian Lillard. I said in a moment of weakness, I preached that I was all about Damian Lillard. I wanted to see the Blazers win because of Damian Lillard, right? And it was C.J. McCollum. That was supposed to be Lillard that was making all those shots. It was C.J. McCollum who put up an oil painting. C.J., he had room to maneuver. And he essentially put on a summer basketball clinic against the Nuggets in this game, how to play big game basketball. 15 points in the first half. You know what? I'll put up 22 in the second half. Shot almost 60% for the game. He took 29 shots. He only missed 12 of them. He was better than Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard scored 4 more points, but efficiency-wise, C.J. McCollum was the better ball player. And his teammate, Damian Lillard, the headliner, he needed a life preserver. He was drowning out there. He's like, what is this? The moment was too big. Lillard took 17 shots. He missed 14 of them. He shot less than 20% from the floor for 13 points. Several Blazer players had to be treated for TTS, tight tuchus syndrome. They had it, right? Now, Lillard was the biggest culprit, as I said, 17% shooting. But Portland shot just 40% for the game. But at least they made the bunnies at the charity stripe, and that was a slight advantage. They didn't get as many foul shots as the Nuggets, but they monetized their foul shots. The Nuggets missed 11 foul shots. They missed 11 foul shots. Think about that. Denver misses 11 foul shots. Last I checked, maybe I'm wrong on this, no one's guarding you. It's not like a pop-a shot where they're moving the basket or something like that. It's not like whack-a-mole. They're moving it. No. And so the Nuggets missed 11 foul shots. They lost by 4 points. So, you know, you could do the Maller math on that. You can absolutely do the Maller math on that, and you can see what the hell is this all about. What's going on? All right, final point here. Now, do the Trailblazers have a chance against a banged-up Golden State Warriors squad? Well, it depends on how you measure such things, right? If you're a realist, hell no, absolutely not. But you do have a puncher's chance. And I've said for years, I've evangelized behind the microphones of Fox Sports Radio, that the downfall of the Golden State Warriors will be snap, crackle, pop. It won't just be snap. They've got the snap part with Kevin Durant. He's already out, right? Sans Kevin Durant. The crackle or the pop would be what? It would be another Golden State key player going down with injury. So you go into this series, if you're the Blazers, with a puncher's chance. You have to play near flawless basketball to win. It is a Herculean type situation, even with Durant not there. The Blazers, they're the 100-to-1 shot, are the Portland Trail Blazers in this series. But and remember, the better team does not always win. But here's the problem. In the NBA playoffs, the better team always wins, right? I can't think of the last time the better team didn't win. We have seen big favorites suffer from illusionary superiority complexes where they overestimate their own qualities and abilities and they underestimate the opposition. But in the NBA, it rarely results in the actual team losing 4 out of 7. So, yeah, obviously, if you're Portland, you come out here, you got to pounce all over Golden State and try to put the pressure on them. Good luck on that. All right, let's hear from some of the key participants in this one. The Denver Nuggets, who lost the game, they could not make a shot when it mattered. They're coached by a guy named Michael Malone is his name. Here's Michael Malone. Michael, I'm sure this loss means that your season was a failure, yes?
Tonight is the end of the season, but I'm not going to allow this Game 7 loss to take away from a magical year.
Why not?
It doesn't feel that way right now, but when I reflect and when our players reflect on what we're able to accomplish, hell of a year. Couldn't ask for anything more from our guys.
Yeah, you could ask for 5 more points from your guys. How about that? You could ask for 5 more points from your guys. Is that too harsh? Am I being mean? Am I being melodramatic here? All right, so any reasonable person knows the Nuggets have no future now. It's all over. The Nuggets franchise is in disarray. Is that correct, Mr. Malone?
The future is so bright. I mean, what? You guys heard me say it all postseason. I love the moment. I love where we're at. But more importantly, I love where we're going and who we're going there with. And that's such a big point of what we're doing here. You know, just spending time with Mr. Kroenke and Josh and Mr. K said it. You know, we won 61 games this year. It's been over 10 years since we've won that many games. And Jamal will be a huge part of that future.
When he said Mr. Kroenke, that's Stan Kroenke. Is there a better owner in sports than Stan Kroenke? I know he's a weirdo, but the Rams were in the Super Bowl and the Nuggets made the playoff. There you go. Doesn't he own a soccer team, too? He owns the soccer team in Colorado?
Arsenal.
Oh, that's a European soccer
team. Yeah,
that
one, too, yeah.
He owns that one, too. Does he own any other teams other than that? He owns
Avalanche.
The Avalanche, too. That's right, yeah. The Avalanche. Well, they were in the playoffs, right? They made the playoffs. All right, so the Ben Maller Show on Fox. Here's more from post-game reaction. Michael Malone here. And, Michael, let's see, who are you going to blame? Would you like to name someone, individual, who really sucked? Throw someone under the bus, Michael Malone. Why don't you rip Jokic, right? He was really bad. Rip one of your players. Rip your guys. Rip your guys.
I got Nikola Jokic in there, taking blame for the loss.
Yeah.
It's not his fault.
Yeah, you know,
this
is his fault.
A group effort. I think the cumulative effect of 14 playoff games and us asking him to do as much as we asked him to do finally took its toll on him tonight.
God.
But this group really did play for each other, not just with each other. They cared about each other on the court and off the court. And the best teams I've ever been a part of have had that kind of a chemistry and love for one another.
What the hell was that? What? Really? Let me play the world's smallest violin. See, the way it works, Mr. Malone, is when you win, you get all the glory, and when you're the headliner and you don't perform well down the stretch of a game, you take crap. That's how it works. Otherwise, you don't get the glory when you do well. My goodness. All right, Nikola Jokic, we just heard your coach explain you felt like the clown. Tell the world why you suck. Go ahead.
I feel responsible just to... Because I mean, I think I missed a lot of shots.
Yep,
yeah, I missed a lot of shots.
You
and,
did.
I supposed to make some of those. So it was a physical game. It was a tough game.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. He got charbroiled. Admit it. Good for him. Next time, don't get butchered. Right? Don't go to the slaughterhouse and get butchered. Next time you're in the game. All right, so Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie. Judas Solid Gold Garcia. It's right over there.
Did you enjoy watching these Game 7s? Was this a basketball fan's dream come true?
Was that a dream come true? I have no skin in the game. As you know, Eddie, I'm a neutral.
But you're
I'm
a lover of the round ball, though, right? Come on.
I like basketball. I one thing about me, Eddie, is I try to be passionate when I'm on the radio. I want to talk about things I'm into. So, I like basketball. So, I enjoy watching the playoffs. And these were close games, so it was good. A lot of missed shots, but yeah, I had fun. That wasn't the greatest day of my life. If the Clippers had won on a buzzer beater by Kawhi Leonard, that would have been a pretty good day, but they didn't. So I don't have that, but I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Understandable.
Did you go to Disneyland or something like that on Sunday? Did you go?
No, we went on Friday.
On Friday.
Yeah, Friday's the day.
So Friday is Disneyland day for Eddie. If you
usually,
want.
Yeah.
You go every Friday, Eddie?
Usually, we try to.
Huh. All right. What's your favorite ride at Disneyland?
Well, I'm not great on all the roller coasters and whatnot.
There's really some crazy roller coasters at Disneyland. Some wild roller coasters.
I do enjoy the Big Thunder Mountain. It's not too crazy, but it's okay. It's fun. It's fun.
What about Splash Mountain? Get all wet, Splash Mountain.
Well, if it's warm outside, I guess that would be enjoyable.
I like Splash Mountain because it's like this nice tranquil ride, very calm, and then all of a sudden you drop off this cliff at the end.
It's a small world after all. That's my kind of.
I don't think you're allowed to go on that anymore, Roberto. It's a restraining order. I don't think you're allowed to go on it. It's a small world after all. They still have Toontown? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, they have that. That's over at the California Adventures.
It's in the back, though. No one goes there, right?
Yeah, some people go there, yeah.
I haven't been there in a while. What else is there? Oh, Space Mountain. I don't fit on Space Mountain. My knees are too tall for Space Mountain.
Yeah, that bar comes down and gives you a hard time.
That's it. Yeah. That's a problem. Cannot do Space Mountain. Does not happen.
Anyway, Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
Oh, that one's very herky jerky. It really kind of.
If you have lower back pain.
Oh, it's cool. I like that one.
You will have more lower back pain by the time you get off.
It's a little harsh. Not bad, but kind of harsh.
What about the Jungle Book cruise, which is right there? You can go on a little boat there with the.
I went on that for the first time ever the other day.
Yeah.
Harry Potter the Ride at Universal is pretty cool.
Didn't Steve Martin used to work on it? You know, he worked at the Magic Shop, but didn't he work, Steve Martin, the old comedian, didn't he work on that ride also?
I think they're still doing the same dialogue from back when he did it, if he did do it, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same.
I was told it's exactly.
Shtickle. It's all
they
time.
Can't improvise. They have to do the same lines that they've done every year for decades.
Yeah. I know we don't do shout-outs here.
We do not do shout-outs. We're not a Morning Zoo show. We don't get paid like a Morning Zoo show.
Shout-out to Fluffy Dave for his birthday today.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I understand Fluffy Dave is 21 years old for the 21st time, is that right? 21 for the 21st or 21 for the 25th time? I don't know.
Happy birthday, you old man.
So honesty in sports. This is wonderful. Honesty in sports. Over the weekend, a San Francisco Gigantes pitcher, a left-handed pitcher by the name of Derek Holland. You probably don't know who that is because he plays for the Giants and they're a last-place team. But he was placed on the injured list at the end of last month, and he talked to reporters who cover the Giants over the weekend, and he unloaded on the San Francisco Giants front office. This happened late Saturday night after he learned from Bruce Bochy that he was being moved to the bullpen. He said, "I have no idea what they're doing," Holland said. "I don't mean that by Bochy and them. It's more the front office," the Giants pitcher said. "They keep changing a lot of things. I did a fake injury. I'm not happy about that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to do whatever they ask me to do," close quote. So he admitted that he faked an injury and went on the 10-day disabled list for the Giants, which is a violation of the agreement. You're not supposed to do that. So this brought up one of the great lies. Farhan Zaidi, a former Dodger executive, who's now the GM of the Giants.
Who?
The president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi. I got to give him credit here. What he said, to have the chutzpah, Farhan Zaidi, to say this, is tremendous. Like, Holland is cleansing his soul, admitting, "I faked an injury. I'm not happy about it, but they wanted me to fake the injury." And so Farhan Zaidi, the Giants GM, responded. What did he say? He said that the pitcher was injured. He didn't fake an injury. He essentially, I'm paraphrasing some of this, but he's claiming that he just wanted to pitch. So that's why he said it was a fake injury, because he wanted to pitch and he wasn't really hurt. And then Zaidi on Sunday came out and said, "Well, we have the medical data to back it up, that he had a bruise and he couldn't pitch," is what Farhan Zaidi said. But I look at this the same way as I look at it, like, police can really pull you over. They can find, if they want to pull you over, they will find a reason to pull you over. I mean, there are so many things in the traffic code that's minutia that they can find something. If they want to pull you over, they will put. If you want to find an injury, no one is really 100%. So if you want to find an injury, you will find an injury on baseball players or any athlete for that matter.
And Zaidi did that a lot with the Dodgers.
Well, yeah, the Dodgers had a revolving door.
Yeah, revolving door in that bullpen.
Now, I would have Hollins back more if he didn't suck. I mean, he's terrible. He's had a horrible. He's got an ERA of almost 7 for the Giants. But I thought it was absolutely great. And the fact that Zaidi told the reporters that the decision was not fake. This is the exact quote. I got to give you the exact quote. This is what the Giants general manager said. His use, meaning Hollins' use of the word fake, probably comes from him feeling he could have pitched with it. What a weasel. What a little weasel.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Koopaloo.
After getting dominated by the Bucks, a lot of people have been left wondering what went wrong with the Celtics. Well, Ben, I've heard a number of people actually suggest that Kobe Bryant is to blame. Now, Jason Tatum mentioned early in the season how he spent a lot of the offseason working with Kobe. What do you think about this theory?
Well, first of all, this is not a coop out, it's a cop out, is what it is. Look, Jason Tatum regressed with the Celtics this year. I think that's accurate, but he's got to own his performance. Kobe Bryant is not going to be the fall guy. Accountability matters for Jason Tatum. He worked out with Kobe a couple times in the summer, and it affected his entire season. Come on. Poppycock is what that is. And secondly, if you're looking to pass the buck, I would rather blame Kyrie Irving. That's who I'd rather be. He's a selfish guy. I'll blame Kyrie. By the way, Jaylen Brown worked out with Tracy McGrady. Are we going to blame T-Mac for Jaylen Brown not playing well? Next!
Kobe's a double agent. It was intentional.
There you go. Yeah.
Over the weekend, Dusty...
That's why he gave you Rob Pelinka.
Over the weekend, Dusty Baker said in an interview that he gets a lot of calls and letters saying how missed he is as the Nationals manager and admitted that he kind of wishes he was still there. Ben, do you think they pulled the plug too early on Baker?
No, I love Dusty. He had a great record during the regular season. He is like the Andy Reid of baseball. Great regular season, not a great playoff manager. In fact, I believe he is the worst record. He has the worst record of anyone in the history of baseball who managed 30 playoff games. All time, he's got the worst record. The problem with the Nationals is Davey Martinez is bad at his job. He's all about the analytics and all that, but he's not doing a good job with the team. They suck. And, you know, Dusty Baker, he'd be better, but no, they didn't get rid of him. They gave him plenty of time. Next!
Cam Newton turned 30 on Saturday. When asked if he's thought about changing his play, he said, "I'm too old to change." Ben, how much longer do you think Newton has in the league?
Well, he's not going to play till he's 40 or into his 40s. Forget about that. And Carolina, I'll give him a couple more years, but Carolina drafted this guy, Will Greer, out of West Virginia. Now, this guy, they drafted him in the third round. You don't waste a pick like that unless you think he's got something. So I'll give Cam 2 more years in Carolina. How do we do, Coop?
He passes it.
I won the game. I won the game at the buzzer. Win, 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 win.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, let's go to Marcel in Brooklyn. Hello, Marcel.
Good morning. Happy Post Mother's Day to Ben, Roberto, Justin, and Eddie. Hey, do you check on Twitter for my amazing picks? This is for my mom, my Auntie T, and my others. Okay. They're part of the family.
All right.
Yep. Yeah. Right there.
I saw
that's my mom, Joan.
It's a very, very nice photos. You have a very lovely family there, Marcel.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, beloved.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new week. So, Mala Militia, let's get into it.
I love it. It is one of the great lines. Let's get into it. Who does not love Let's Get Into It? It's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Huh? Yes.
What are we getting into?
The entire Fox Sports Radio Nation knows about the injury for Rodney Hood yesterday for the Trailblazers. Wow. The knee injury.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a basketball player. Is that now? People are blaming you, Marcel. They're saying that you jinxed him. Do you feel any culpability in that?
That's right. Trailblazers beating the Nuggets yesterday, 196.
Wow. He's owning it.
Marcel, do you think that Kawhi Leonard is one of the most outgoing people in basketball? What do you think?
Absolutely. I just retweeted at SportsCenter, Kwani Game 7 for the win. I'll do the player of the week for him after to do some food picks.
Yes, go ahead. I'm waiting, Mar. So food. I love the food picks. I live on the food picks. Now, before you make the food pick, let's have some fun here. Food
I
pick.
Sure.
All right, hold on a sec. Relax. What will Marcel pick? Now, we're talking Mother's Day, so you got to go. You can't do chicken patties on Mother's Day. You probably can't do pizza. You got to do more of a – I'm going Chef Boyardee. I think, Mom, you regaled Mom with some Chef Boyardee. Eddie, what do you want?
I'm going to go lasagna.
Oh, that's kind of a version of Chef
Yummy
Boyardee.
Lasagna, Eddie.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. What about you, Roberto?
SpaghettiOs.
SpaghettiOs. All right, he's excited about that. And the Koopa Loop.
I'm going to go with a nice mac and cheese.
Mac and
Yummy.
Cheese. All right, mac and cheese. And reveal answers.
My food pick of the night is chicken nuggets.
Oh, yeah, chicken nuggets on Mother's Day.
That's
a surprise.
Right.
That is a surprise. Were they the diner?
Mom probably went with what Marcel liked.
I had dino nuggets tonight for dinner.
Did you?
I did.
Absolutely.
They were dino nuggets? You had the dino nuggets?
I did, yeah.
Wow. It's very grown up of you. Do you save the T-Rexes to the end? Do you save... All right. Thank you, Marcel.
But wait.
That's
not all.
Oh, that's
it's
not all.
It's Jackson.
All right, yeah.
It's Monday, May 13th. The player of the week goes to...
Oh, here we go. Wait, player of the week. Player of the week. Let's see here.
It's got to be Kawhi Leonard, right? Game winner?
Noah Syndergaard.
Spoilers.
How about Kawhi Leonard? A big win yesterday for the Toronto Raptors in 92-90 win against the Sixers.
Excellent
Kawhi.
Choice. Yeah.
Say that one more time. Who was the player? I didn't hear it. Who was the player?
Kawhi Leonard.
Thank you.
A big win yesterday against
all right.
the Sixers.
That's all we needed. That's all
at
we needed.
At Marcel Mark 70 on Twitter. Have a great day.
All right.
Yeah. It's his Hawaiian twin brother.
Kawhi, his twin. Yes. We love Marcel.
Marcel, don't ever change.
Marcel, I was dreaming years ago. I think, please find another caller is great. You know, in that class, we've had a lot of wonderful callers, but he is just moving up the charts here, Marcel.
Emmanuel Madai.
We should do a whole segment of him pronouncing the names of random players.
What?
It is just great.